Good morning and welcome to KGNU Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. In studio this morning, we have two very special guests that I want to introduce you guys to, and we're going to be addressing a very serious topic here. This is something that you all need to pay attention to and be mindful of. And as with every show that we have that comes on the air, we try to inform and we try to uplift and educate our community. And this particular segment will be no different. We have a phenomenal young lady who is doing great work in our community, and it is an honor to have her. We have Ms. Martha Ray, and she is a clinical consultant with the Office of Respondent Parent Counsel. And today we have a special guest with her, and I'm going to save her identity for the second half of the interview, but she is an extraordinary young lady. She is a mother of a beautiful young boy, and she has been experiencing just unthinkable circumstances in losing custody of her child. And we're going to be getting into the deficiencies of the child welfare system and the mothers that lose their children due to temporary mental health or felonious issues. So let's get into it today. We're going to be talking about children separation from their mothers and this pertaining to Black women and women of color. So I want to welcome into the studio for the first half of our interview this morning, Martha Ray. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am well.
And Martha, we have you here today because you're going to give us a background on the issue that is going on here in Denver and Colorado with Black mothers and mothers that are women of color that are being separated from their children and not being able to reclaim them after having either a run-in with the police or having mental health hold issues. And if you could get into more contextual information and give us more background about what the issue is specifically that is keeping Black mothers and mothers of color separated from the children once they have a mental health crisis or a situation where they've had a run-in with the police that they cannot reclaim or
reunify.
Yeah, reunify with their children. So give us some context and background on that.
So I am a licensed professional counselor, so I've seen full gamut of women of color in particular who have a mental health crisis, which is fairly common. You know, people of all races have mental health crises. That's why there are centers. And unfortunately, when someone is in a mental health crisis here, officers or co-responders are going out to homes and they are trying to assess the situation as best as they can. But what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that they will believe whoever is the most calm or the white person that's there. And unfortunately, for many of our Black and brown mothers, that means they end up on a 72-hour hold.
What does that 72-hour hold look like?
Typically, if it happens on a weekend, basically the time extends out to 5 days because they're not doing anything until Monday.
Okay.
But you are evaluated whether or not you are healthy or not. There are times when at least a few people have been in those situations and do not meet criteria. They are there purely because they weren't believed in the moment by whoever put them on the hold. And they have to remain there until they are released, essentially, until that time is up or Monday comes.
Or Monday comes. So what is the criteria normally for a mother to be incarcerated or put on a mental hold? What are the bases for them being detained?
The criteria is supposed to be that someone is either homicidal, which means you want to kill somebody else, suicidal, which means you want to kill yourself, or criteria for grave disability.
Okay.
Grave disability is being so far disoriented that you cannot provide care to yourself. A lot of people get confused and think it's just being disoriented. That is actually not a criteria hold. It's being disoriented and unable to provide care for yourself. So that's, folks that are running around naked or unable to bathe or feed themselves.
Okay. So basically, they just cannot take care of themselves on any level.
On any level.
All right. And they are deemed, per se, endangered to themselves and to other people.
Yes.
Gotcha. So if the mother, in this case, meets any one of those criterias or a combination of both, of two or three, then they are put on hold. What happens once they're able to get a court date or they're able to be released? What happens to the child during this 3 to 5 day period?
Unfortunately, if they are a single parent, their child is going into custody with the Department of Human Services.
And is it understood that the mother is going to reclaim that child once this hold has been, you know, achieved or it's expired or they've met the criteria to reclaim and be reunified with their child?
You know, you would think so, because you know, the state has recognized them as being safe enough to be out into the world. But that is not what happens for children. Children remain in care and custody. And usually their parents have to show a demonstrated period of time, which, you know, oftentimes is way, way too long.
Give us an example of that. What is way too long?
The most common trend I'm seeing in Adams and Jefferson counties is that they're not even thinking to look until 6 months have passed. And 6 months.
That is like a lifetime care. And is this just with these two counties, or is this kind of a common practice in general with all the counties here in Colorado?
I believe it is a common practice. It happens so often. Mental health, it's vague, it's abstract, you know, is that I am really upset because I was in traffic and now I'm in a mood, or is that, you know, I'm dangerous. Because it's such a wide variance, really, caseworkers, guardian ad litems, CASA workers can kind of fit whatever they want into there and say, no, they can't go back yet.
Right. Basically, there's so many different shades of gray.
Exactly.
That people can skew it to any hue that fits the scenario.
Yes.
That they think is appropriate. Even if it doesn't apply.
Even if it doesn't apply.
And so with that much autonomy and authority, that is a dangerous combination.
Absolutely.
And because of that, that has led to many Black women and women of color being incarcerated longer than they need to be, not getting the mental health treatment they need when they legitimately need help, or being unnecessarily put into mental health care when they weren't actually exhibiting a true, you know, mental health episode. The scenarios are kind of all over the place.
And all over the place.
And it sounds like to me that we don't have the right people showing up to address these concerns when they happen. And we don't have, to me, in my opinion, people that have the qualifications, the credentials and temperament to go out and address these kind of domestic situations. Because cops, with all due respect, risk their lives every day. And, you know, God bless, you know, all the officers, all the men and women on the force that serve our communities here and outside of the state of Colorado. But having policemen and women show up to certain situations just by being there instantly instigates an escalation.
Absolutely.
And because of that, it leads to what they feel are the only alternatives, arresting people. And that is something that we are just stuck on. And why do you think we just haven't evolved from that?
Oh, I feel like that could probably be another 3 hour
conversation.
I really think that when you are a hammer, that everything is a nail. You know, I don't know if that is right or logical, but it happens so often that I don't know what else to think or believe, because I have had moms on my load and fathers on my load who will tell the officer, no, I see this person for my mental health care. This person doesn't know what they're talking about. But you have a white person or a professional saying, no, they must be off their meds, claiming that they have a diagnosis that they don't even have. And by the time I get the records, it's like 4 months later. So helpful? Not really, because their child has been away from them that long.
And each day that goes by, that separation is doing irreversible harm to that child.
Absolutely.
And the thing that I find very interesting is that if someone says something, and with all due respect to, you know, our white brothers and sisters here, I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. This is not piling on, you know, as a general statement to white people or non-biopic people. It is just that, unfortunately, there are misinterpretations of cultural behavior that is sometimes amplified because they don't understand what they're looking at. They don't understand what they're seeing or what they're hearing. And so the default is, oh, they must be acting out, or they must be having an episode, or they're having a mental breakdown. It is not always about any of those things. It's just about how that person is feeling in the moment. And I do believe that culture with the behavior that happens in real time is a big part of why this gets escalated, because there's a predisposition or thought that women of color, black women, men of color, black men are going to inherently be violent or escalate before they can be contained. So it's all about the preemptive containment of black and brown people acting out. Am I right?
You are absolutely right.
And with that, and I do want to also add, too, that this horrific issue applies to black fathers. So not only are black women and women of color being indoctrinated into this horrible cycle, but black men and men of color who are also fathers are going through the same thing as well. So before we take a break and we bring in our other special guest today, what would you say is probably the hardest part of doing this job and seeing this type of dysfunction in our society that's affecting and hurting, and in some cases, killing people?
I think I'd have to say the hardest part is, in my role, I get to actually sit with the parent and see them and see their humanity and see their journey and see their struggles. And a caseworker that's coming in for 20 minutes for a judge that is listening to people. I've seen a court hearing that is 5 minutes, and they have all the power to make the decision to say, no, that's not good enough. It's doubly traumatic because there's nothing I can really do about it other than stand by them and make as much noise as possible.
Right. For the 5 minutes that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like being taken hostage and you can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the lives are up for ransom. And it's like, okay, you guys don't have even a clue about what this is really like for her. And you don't know who this person is. You don't know who he is or who she is. And that is the fundamental issue that black men and women, black mothers and fathers who are people of color, biopic people, are not seen as people.
Yes.
They're just seen as incidents. And that is the key disconnect. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here and pause for station identification. My name is Tish Buford. As you all know, I'm the host of Public Affair. You're listening to KGNU Community Radio. And in studio today, we have the wonderful and just brilliant Martha Ray. She has brought a beautiful young lady with her today to share her story about what she has been through. She is one of these wonderful souls that has been subjected to this dysfunctional system, and she's going to be sharing her story in just the next few minutes. But Martha's going to take some time to tell us a little bit about her background and how she came to join us today. So Martha, if you could kindly take over the honors and introduce our special guest to our radio audience this morning.
Yes, I have the honor and privilege to have gotten to know Miss Anna, because I received her case because I'm a therapist, and she was brought to my attention for mental health concerns. In that time, like many other people, the coronavirus sent people into an upheaval, and a lot of people got dysregulated, disoriented, and thrown off their game from all the changes that were happening. And Miss Anna was one of those people. And unfortunately, when her mental health exacerbated, the law enforcement got involved, And instead of taking her to receive the mental health care that she needed, they opted to take her to jail, where she languished and her mental health deteriorated further and further. And she was subjected to solitary confinement. And when I would try to visit her, they would tell me that she's not acknowledging me and she's only able to be out for 1 hour a day anyway. She, I want to say, stayed there for 8 months before the mental health package was able to pick her up and get her to the actually appropriate care that she should have gone to on day one.
Right. And instead of getting the help she needed, she was incarcerated to start with. And then she was subsequently put in solitary confinement while this entire time being separated from her child.
This entire time being separated from her child, and really, really her life ripped away. Because during that time, you know, if you get arrested, you get that 3-day eviction notice, and she was not there to collect her things. So they literally had nothing, not even pictures, nothing.
That is just heartbreaking.
So not only does she not have her child, she's got an eviction notice on her record. And, you know, now she's dealing with the ramifications of a case, a legal case.
Right. So not only has the most important thing been taken from her life, but she has lost everything she's worked for.
Every single thing.
In a matter of 3 to 4 days.
Yes.
That is absolutely heartbreaking. Well, Miss Martha, can you please introduce this powerful, courageous young lady here so she can share her story with us?
This is Miss Anna, who is vibrant and healthy and, you know, working her butt off to get her baby back. So, Miss Anna.
My name is Anna Dogay, and I'm here to tell my story. I was arrested on April 5th. My son was put into foster care, and I'm still fighting right now to get him back. It's been hard. It's been mentally, emotionally, physically a drain on me, and it has impacted my life to mostly sadness, hurt, and pain. And now I'm just wanting my son.
And Anna, I want to thank you for being here and sharing your story with us. And thank you for your courage. Thank you for your candor. And for those of you who are listening, if you can't fully understand the idea of not having your child with you, this is a human being that you brought into the world, that you've raised and nurtured and taken care of and protected your whole life. And in a matter of days, he's no longer with you, and you cannot get him back anytime soon. That is like no other hell on earth that I can even begin to explain.
No, it's not, because I'm a single mom and dad, so I play both roles. I'm his mom, I'm his dad. So to have us split apart like this, it was crazy. So trying to get him to be back with me or place with my cousin who has been approved to see after him is something that we are working on, because it's been 1 year almost next month that I wouldn't have seen my son, and not being able to see him, talk to him, hold him, it hurts. And I just want other parents out there that's in my situation to know that you are not alone. And I have to speak for me. I have to speak for my son. I'm speaking for people who can't speak for themselves or who are too afraid to speak for themselves. It hurts. He's my everything. I'm his everything. So going through this, I need help. I need the world to know my story. And I am so grateful to both Martha and Miss Tish for having me on the air so that I am able to voice my feelings and my situation and tell the world my story, because the truth is I'm scared to lose my child to the foster care system. I am myself a victim of the foster care system growing up in the foster care system myself and the failure that it has been in my life, and I don't want it to be for my son. So I need help. And I just want my story to be told.
And I'm glad you're telling that story. And I know how incredibly difficult this is for you. And I have to say that I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
I have so much respect for you. Because what gets lost with these stories are that people look at money, they look at social and economic status, and they assume that, okay, well, maybe this mother and father is this way because they're poor or because they come from certain types of homes, which is all code for, you know, being a person of color or being Black. This could happen to anyone at any time. And this can happen at the blink of an eye. You can have a mental episode or get arrested, and you can lose custody of your children. You can lose custody and control of your life in a matter of 3 days. And a lot of people don't know this. And Ms. Martha just explained briefly that you can even lose your house. You can lose your apartment if you are incarcerated for a certain period of time. So the system moves very quickly to do what they feel they're responsible for doing, but there's no recovery, any immediate recovery for those who are on the receiving end of this sort of process and judicial transactions that happen so expeditiously and so quickly. So Anna, I can't even begin to understand what you're going through. I'm a mother. I have a son, and I have been blessed to be able to see him grow, to be a father. He's 31 years old. He's gainfully employed. He's a wonderful parent and a wonderful person. And anybody who takes that privilege away from a parent can't understand what that's like, unless they've been in that position. And how do you explain that to people who have more authority over your life than you do and who don't know you and who want to make decisions that affect you and your son's lives without even being fully invested in your story?
I think it's crazy because he's 10 years old. My son is 10 years old right now. And by the pictures that were given to me, he is starting to take on his own features. He doesn't just look like me or I see his dad in him no more. He's starting to come into his own man. He's starting to gain his own features. I miss his hugs and kisses. I miss his laugh. And these are things that I no longer have and I no longer get to see. And it hurts. And it hurts that in my competency test, while being detained, I learned that judges are supposed to remain impartial. And I just feel like some judges aren't like this, to say and do whatever they want, like cutting my son's hair, taking his earrings out, changing his identity. These are things that are out of my hands. And it hurts. And I'm confused because they say I have custody, but I don't have custody. So it hurts. And just as Martha was saying, housing, I'm in need of a housing voucher so that I can have a home for my son to come to. Because between getting my son back, I also have to have a home for him to come to. So I'm also in need of a housing voucher to be able to get a home so that he has a home to come to. So these are the things that I'm going through, is one thing after another, while still trying to remain strong and clear-minded and doing what I'm supposed to do. And to my son, who I absolutely love and adore, I want him to know how much I love him, how much I miss him, how much I am doing everything that I am supposed to do to get us back together again. And this is what I want him to know.
And I know that he is going to hear this message, and we're going to get this message to him, because he needs to hear your voice.
Yes.
He needs to know that his mama has not forgotten about him.
And that I did not give him up, and that I did not abandon him, because my son is hurt. I feel my son is hurt that he feels that I abandoned him and gave him up, which is why he is not wanting to see me. There's a lot. It just hurts. And there has just been, is the time that we have not been able to see one another or hear one another's voice. So I do appreciate you for letting me tell my voice, speak my voice for my son to hear one day. Because as long as he knows that I'm fighting for him and fighting for us to be back together again means the world to me.
And I'm glad to be able, and I'm honored to be able to give that gift to you, because this will be aired to thousands of people. And he's going to hear this. And he's going to hear your voice, because he's old enough to understand.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's going to know that my mom has not left me behind. And this goes to every mother out there that's fighting to reunify with their child, or who is fighting the system, or who's trying to get back on their feet to reclaim their mental health, their motherhood, and their life and their identity. You represent all these courageous men and women who are doing this, all the mothers and fathers out there that are going through this. So you are a champion and you are a warrior.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
You're going to be all right.
I can't give up.
You cannot give up.
Oh, do not lose your faith. Do not lose your focus. You will manifest them right back to you, because you're doing the work. You are no longer a safety issue. And anybody who says otherwise is going to have a problem with me.
And me.
Yes.
So we're going to fight and advocate for those who don't have voices. And before we leave, can you please share with our audience your beautiful son's name?
My son's name is Elijah King Maurice Dogay. I tell you his full name because I call him King. They call him Elijah.
Absolutely. So anyone out there within the sound of our voices, I want you to understand that these stories have consequences and they affect lives. And people are being damaged. Children are being damaged. Parents are being damaged. We got to do better and we got to be better. Thank you, Miss Martha. And thank you, Miss Anna, for joining us in studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. And thank you all for listening to this very important discussion this morning. I've been your host, Tish Buford, on Public Affair. You've been listening to KGNU Community Radio. Thank you once again for being with us. And you all, please stay safe, stay informed, and thank you for listening.